Yes, to the 5302 Electronica playlist archive. Are you planning any releases in addition to your album in 2020? I think I've mistakenly transferred this thinking to music production in recent years. Even if you did the best Skrillex bassline ever, the best you're ever going to be is a copy of Skrillex. Let's talk about generic tech house DJs for a moment, you know. Hey guys, welcome to the Kane Audio Vlog. It is Friday. It's time for another Ask Me Anything. Usual rules apply. Comment anything you want below this video and I'll get back to you in next week's video. Before I look at last week's video, is there any house admin? I don't think there is. This week has flown by. It's Friday again. It feels like there's a Friday every week these days. Yeah, I don't think there's any house admin. I have not updated the 5302 playlist, but I will most likely before next Friday, so keep your eyes on that. Anybody that doesn't already follow the playlist, there'll be a link below here. I think I called it 5302 stuff, the link, and there's just loads of stuff in there. House admin wise, I don't think there is anything. I've not really been doing anything that's worth talking about. Well, I say that I've made some possible plans towards the garden studio. I am basically looking at three options. Option one, let's call it top budget, is an off-the-shelf package garden office, which is fully insulated, double glazing, pretty much everything you need, floors, walls, ceiling, you name it, electrics. And that basically spanks the whole budget all in one go, which is fine, but then if I need to make any modifications, there's just more cost, and it turns out it's much more costly than I would like, and that's not including foundations, which have to be different for that for some reason, whatever. Option two is, rather than a garden office, go for a log cabin, which I like just as much aesthetically, but it means that, so I could get a fully insulated one, and it means that I can save a lot on the budget, but then I would need to spend more on budget on things like interior and electrics and stuff like that. So that's kind of a middle of the road one, but there are more choices and more available, the better sizes, so we'll see. And then option three is building it myself, which is potentially much cheaper but equally much more work, but at the same time much more suitable. So I'm back to that sort of original three-prong road, but yeah, hopefully going to make some progress soon, because summer is fast approaching, and I've been saying for a while now that I want it done this summer, by the end of this summer at the latest, really. I want to be in there, basically. So yeah, so we're moving with that. Oh, and for my Patreon subscribers, again, link below this video. For Patreon subscribers, I think we are very, very, very nearly at the budget for the Hackintosh. So in about a week, we're not quite into May the 1st. Oh, no, it is May the 1st today, so I'll check later on today. But I think we're very nearly into the budget of the Hackintosh now. So I'm going to be looking into those details, just reviewing everything, making sure that, because I did post a video for my Patreon subscribers explaining what I was picking and why, I just want to double check that those are still relevant and nothing major has changed. So it turns out I did have more house admin than I realized. There we go. I think that is it. For anybody that is watching this not today. It is the 1st of May 2020. We are still very much in quarantine. The whole world is. The initial, I'm going to call it the panic phase, where everybody was panic buying stuff from shops and just utter chaos. That's all done and dusted. It's now kind of become normality for the most part. But I feel like that's not a good thing, because we're now at a stage where I've seen reports of higher traffic counts, higher populations in areas that shouldn't really be there, I think because everybody's just kind of relaxed a bit, which means we may get a second wave, who knows, without going into any politics of whether any governments have done the right thing or wrong thing. There could be a second wave, and in which case this could go on for a very long time. And the reason I'm kind of explaining this is because I just checked the video before I started recording. There's like two comments on there, and I think part of the reason for that is because of the quarantine, I think less people are watching YouTube, especially more regularly. I've noticed on all the YouTubers I follow, you know, they're sort of getting less views and everything, so I'm just gonna kind of just pretend it's not happening and it's all good, and we'll just carry on basically. So hello to the three of you watching this. There we go. So starting at the top, there is literally three comments I can see here. So starting at the top, Cavalcade, Oasis, high five, Shudder, not a fan, sorry. Do you know what, I was a fan for a couple of their albums. I think later on in the game I wasn't that much of a fan. I just, you know, I mean, I was never really into that sort of music anyway. You know, the whole indie rock thing was never my thing. But I think it carries a lot of nostalgia for me now. So I think I kind of look back on them a lot more fondly. Yes to the 5302 Electronica playlist archive. The main 5302 Electronica tonal display has been my go-to for a while. Primitive People was a nice surprise. I was addicted to that when it came out. High five for that then. Also a pleasant surprise that you know of RKC. I saw her live show in Manchester last year. Her and two percussionists. Bloody good. She's doing/done a talk on 25th of April. Yeah, done a talk on Saturday 25th of April for Ableton Loop at Home. I've gone back over the dark side for the weekend, getting reacquainted with Live Suite and learning the new stuff in version 10. Let me know how you get on with version 10, because I hear good things, but I don't hear anything, you know, I don't hear of any game-changing stuff on there, and I haven't bothered upgrading to Live 10. Live 9 wouldn't even install on macOS Catalina, so I just kind of left it there and went meh, whatever. I only used Ableton for the odd thing, mostly for tutorial videos and stuff, because I kind of figured everybody has Live, so it's an easy one to start with. Good to keep your hand in. So far, it's making me miss Bitwig. Well, there we go. That says everything I need to know. Anyway, another question about 5302. Are you planning any releases in addition to your album in 2020? Yes, at least one, potentially two. Now, my album is scheduled. What I would like in an ideal world, and this is not set in stone to any extent, in an ideal world, what I would like is one release a month. I feel like 12 releases a year is a good number to have, or between 10 and 15 a year is a good solid number. I think if you've got a roster of, you know, between 4 and 10 artists, then it's kind of one or two releases each per year. And I think that works quite well. I think that allows you as a label to kind of slowly grow, and maybe, you know, a new artist comes in, one does less, whatever, you know. I think that allows for quite a natural flow. However, I've purposefully given myself a couple of extra months space after my album, because my album is the first release and I'm putting my money where my mouth is. And so I'm launching the label with my album, for anyone that doesn't already know. And because of that, I figured not only is it the first release, but it's my release. And not only is it my release, but it's my album. So there's a lot of investment in there, both money and emotion. So because of that, I didn't want to have another release, let's say October, for example, because whoever had that release, I think it would be unfair, because I would probably still be focusing on my album. And because my release strategy basically means about it, I'll be promoting or starting the groundwork for marketing strategy and stuff 3 months before release of any person's release. So if I was to release something in October, then during August, September, I would still be focusing on my album and not the release strategy of whatever that second release is. So to be completely transparent and fair, I'm definitely not releasing anything in October. And I'm going to see how things go closer to the time to potentially do November, but more likely December, if anything. So that's kind of where I'm at, is I'm probably going to have a second release, but more likely November or December, definitely not October. So be kind of for selfish reasons, but because I know I'm going to be selfish, I want to be fair in advance, if that makes sense. So there we go. There are a couple that are sort of earmarked for next in the schedule, but again, I'm sort of leaving those until I'm ready to go with it. So Silent Warrior, hello Dom. It was about the question, what doesn't fit your label? Difficult question. Your answer was really good and opened my eyes. There was also similar in one point, Michael Cretu, Enigma, Sandra, etc., said in an interview in the early 90s, you should always do what you like out of conviction. Absolutely. If you do something that people might like, it would be a flop, because your own heart is not behind the music, and that is reflected in the music. That will only sound like a copy. 100%, that's exactly right. And I think there's a difficult line, because a lot of people sort of try to please and try to aim at a particular crowd or whatever, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I do think there are definite limitations to that. As a DJ, I often had to play things that I didn't like, but people liked. Otherwise, it would have ended quickly for me as a DJ. I think I've mistakenly transferred this thinking to music production in recent years. I wouldn't say it's a mistake. I just think it's something to be aware of. And the fact that you're recognising it now is definitely a good thing, because that means you can make some changes if you want. But you've got to remember as well, you know, to sound really cheesy and stupid, I guess you kind of need to ask yourself, do you want to be a trend follower or a trend setter, I suppose. And I know that sounds really cliched, but, you know, I've mentioned before, in fact, I mentioned in some of the very, very first videos on this channel, the reason why I wouldn't be doing tutorials on things like how to do a Skrillex bassline, because everybody at years ago when I started this YouTube channel, everybody wanted to know how to do the Skrillex bassline. And I always responded with, well, even if you did the best Skrillex bassline ever, the best you're ever going to be is a copy of Skrillex. And that's not, you know, Skrillex has already done Skrillex, so why would you need to do that? I guess that's kind of my point when it comes to production, is that if you're trying to imitate something or repeat something that became popular, you need to ask yourself why that thing became popular. Was it because it sounded like everything else and that made it popular? or was it because it sounded like nothing else at the time and then it became popular? And I think that's a really, really important thing for us music producers to remember, that, you know, even if you look at the cheesy viral hits like Gangnam Style, Gangnam Style didn't become a global hit because it sounded like everything else. It didn't become a global hit because it felt familiar and because everybody recognised it to sound like somebody else. The whole reason it became a global hit was, other than it being a catchy melody, a catchy dance, a viral video, all of those things, forget those factors. But in terms of production and musicality, it was pushing boundaries. And visually, to an extent, it was pushing boundaries and it was breaking new ground. And I think that's the really, really important bit that people need to focus on when it comes to something like Gangnam Style, which we now look back as, oh, it was just Gangnam Style. It was just a silly, funny dance and whatever, you know. But actually, it was pushing boundaries, maybe not in a direction you like, but I don't think anyone can deny that it wasn't pushing boundaries. So, you know, and like I say, with someone like Skrillex, he became an overnight sensation, not only because all the management teams and labels and everything was in the right place. Don't get me wrong. It's all about those combination locks and the combinations being the right place at the right time. But musically, it had to be somewhere new. And he was using the vibe of heavy metal music and guitar background and transferring that to dubstep, which at the time I don't think anyone else had really done. I think people had maybe had some slightly more aggressive bass lines. Of course, dubstep had been around for years, and of course the dubstep wobble had been around for a long, long time. You know, I'm a big reggae dub fan. I know that dubstep was around for a long, long time. Having been a Bristol resident earlier on in my life, I'm very aware of the scene and the culture there and the history. But the point I'm trying to make is that Skrillex took this culture, this idea, and just threw something at it that just completely changed it. You know, and that's kind of what made him him. And I think that's a really important point to remember, that while, you know, if we, let's be honest, let's talk about generic tech house DJs for a moment, you know, they're all playing what's top 40 in Beatport, and that's fine. That serves a purpose. It has a place. And I, you know, so I would never completely diss that, in the same way as if you're a pub DJ and you're playing 80s or 90s or noughties or, you know, top 40 hits. You know, if somebody goes to a cheesy top 40 pop bar and there's a DJ playing there on a Friday night, you know, clearly they're not going to be playing the latest dubstep or grime or drum and bass. They're not going to drop some underground records in the middle of, in between, I don't know, Britney Spears and Justin Bieber, because that just wouldn't work. You know, people want this stuff. So I'm not saying never sound like anyone else ever, because that's not the right way to look at it. But I feel like you shouldn't try to copy. You shouldn't try to use a particular formula that may or may not work. What you should try to do is just do whatever you're most comfortable doing. And I think that's probably the most important part, is just, if you love what you do, then that will show in your music and that will come through. So I think maybe that's what I'm saying. Who knows? I really thought about your words, and maybe it was also why my music lost its life. Always like a DJ doing something that other people like. Passion was lost. Thank you, Dom, for your eye-opener and best wishes. Well, you're welcome. And hopefully my rant just now has maybe brought that home a bit. Yeah, I think it's one of those things, isn't it, that sometimes I think we forget why we get into the music industry in the first place. I know from my personal experience that when money starts getting involved, and, you know, I'll be honest, I'm self-employed. I've got bills to pay. I've got a house to run. My life is not free, so I can't always work for free. It's not going to happen. So sometimes I have to chase a job that pays better. And, you know, I'm incredibly lucky that 99% of my daily jobs I love. I thoroughly enjoy my career. But that makes me very, very lucky. But of course, there are some jobs that I think I'm not 100% convinced that I want to be doing this. And I think that sometimes shows in the work as well. Whereas, you know, if you're, especially if you're not earning money from music yet, then, you know, what's the excuse? What's the excuse for doing something that just other people like? I don't know if there is ever an excuse for that. You need to be doing what you like, because if you never get paid for it, then you can at least look back at your work and go, I'm proud of that. I enjoyed that. I did it for a reason, you know. And I've said before as well, you know, I go through phases sometimes where I don't open Bitwig for myself. In fact, I've gone through one recently. Since my album, really, I've kind of been a bit scared of opening Bitwig because I don't want to make a really good track, because I'll want that to have been in my album and it's too late. But also partly because I've just not had the right headspace. I've not been in the right mindset for it all. But that's okay. And it's only the last week that I've kind of realised, oh, actually, I really want to experiment with a particular kind of drum sound and pattern, which is what I've started doing this week. And I'm getting back into it. But it's because I love it. And it's because I enjoy that whole experience that makes it worth doing for me. The result is almost not so important. It's more about the process. So that's my epic long rant on that. And finally, Mitch Brown, Oasis, high five. That, my friends, is it for this week. Please do get involved. Comment, like, subscribe, share, all the usual stuff. I totally get that these videos are going to get less views during quarantine because people are kind of losing their minds, to be honest. I think we all are. And we're all losing track of what day it is as well. I hope everyone is keeping safe, well and healthy. And hopefully we can resume some sort of normality soon. Who knows? If you've made it this far into the video, though, comment the word upload. Because I can see Mr. Beast has posted videos I could not upload. Comment the word upload. I'll give you a high five next week. Have a good week. I'll see you this time next week. Cheers.